Yesterday began for me an interesting exchange on Facebook. A guy I had gone to Bible college with a million years ago, back when I was Pentecostal. I don't know if he's still Pentecostal. I think he's still evangelical, though. Anyway, he had posted this article on Facebook that was entitled this: Is it sinful to observe or to not observe the season of Lent? And another friend of mine posted and said, is anybody actually asking that question? Well, apparently some people are. The article was written by a man named Tim Challies, who it turns out is part of the Reformed Church. So he's an evangelical who is definitely wanting to maintain the Protestant Reformation ideas. And so a Reformed congregation usually has a Calvinist theology, so they believe in predestination. And there's a lot of very clear ideas about how things are supposed to go. So this man, who comes from this tradition, writes this article, and he does a good job of balancing it out. You know, his concern is, well, you know, if you're supposed to observe Lent, and there's nothing specifically in the Bible that says you're supposed to, you know, observe Lent, is that really what you're supposed to do? But then he does say, though, that if it's something helpful that can, you know, benefit you and so on. But by the time you get to the bottom of the article, he says, because I'm in the Reformed Church, I think you can appreciate, I don't think you should do that. So that was the nature of the article, and my friend had put it up there just because he wanted to, you know, have some thoughts about this. And my comment, I had to say something, right? And so my comment was to say, you know, I think the question behind the question has more to do with those that are concerned about distancing themselves from medieval Catholicism more than really that question. I said, look, if you want to be fair and if you want to be consistent, if it's a problem to celebrate Lent, then you can't celebrate Christmas either, right? You can't celebrate Easter because, you know, I mean, apart from Jesus telling us to remember him, there's nothing about the season of Easter in the Bible. There's nothing about the season of Christmas in the Bible. But having said that, I added to the comment, it is true, if any particular act of piety that we have, if any religious practice we have becomes something that makes us think we must do it, otherwise God won't like us or whatever, we do find a bit of a problem. And so I defended the practice of the season, but then at the same time said, there is a point to be made if it's kept out of balance. Well, then someone else chimed in, and they put up this little meme graphic. If you've seen a meme, what it'll do is it'll have a couple of pictures from movies or something like that, and they'll put captions on it. And so in this case, it was a debate between, I forget the guy's name now, escaped my mind. He was a little bit notorious. Anyway, whatever. The point is, there's this guy, and he's answering questions to this woman who's debating him or whatever. And he says, Jesus said, do not do anything when you fast to draw attention to the fact that you are fasting. And the other person in the meme says, so I should put ashes on my head to show everybody that I'm fasting? The implication is this sarcastic irony. Like, why on Ash Wednesday would we do this imposition of ashes thing if Jesus said, you're not supposed to let everybody know that you're fasting? So my response to that was, well, first of all, if you think that people who practice Lent and observe Ash Wednesday don't know about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, that's a really oversimplistic criticism to start with. And then secondly, it just so happens that on Ash Wednesday, the lectionary requires us to read that passage from Jesus precisely to make sure that we have the right perspective on what we're doing with ashes on our head on Ash Wednesday. So yeah, we're aware of that message. You don't have to try to make it sound like we're not paying attention. Anyways, I said it much more kindly than I just did there, although this is being recorded, so if he looks on our website, you'll hear it. But anyway, the point remains, nevertheless, that practicing the season of Lent, and in particular Ash Wednesday, this sign of the cross we put on our foreheads, it is drawing attention to something. And the greatest irony about this whole exchange with that original question, is it sinful to observe or not to observe the season of Lent, that someone is making the observance or not about sin is interesting when sin is such a huge category of the season of Lent anyway. And the whole point of the season of Lent is acknowledging that sinfulness and acknowledging those things that we do not do when we know we ought to do them, or that we do things that we know we ought not to do. So it's kind of ironic that the idea of actually observing the season that is making us be considerate and mindful of our sinfulness might indeed be sinful to do such a thing. Go figure. But where does this come from anyway? Why does this become a practice that we follow? Where are we going with this season of Lent? We understand, of course, in general, that the next 46 days, or 40 days if you don't count the Sundays, is meant to be mirroring Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, where he was being tempted by the devil of all people, it says in the scriptures. Being tempted before he began his ministry. Jesus was being tempted to do something sinful. Jesus was being tempted to take shortcuts to the ministry that was before him. And so we, as we work our way towards the focus of Holy Week, are invited to follow our Savior in doing the same kind of thought. Where are we at in terms of the things that we are tempted to do or not to do when it should be the other way around? This is not a new thing. This is not something that simply began with Jesus, but it takes its origin from the experience of Israel. And we heard it, it seems like a long time ago now, from our first reading in Isaiah. The concern that Isaiah brings up, because he's commissioned by God to bring up this concern, begins to undergird what the main thrust of the season of Lent is about. The season of Lent isn't just about penitential prayer, though that's part of it. It's also about fasting, in other words, giving something up. And it's also about almsgiving, doing good for others. And we can find in Isaiah 58 the roots of that. God tells Isaiah to speak to Israel and to declare what the issue is. In fact, the call at the beginning of that reading is really dramatic. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and announce to my people their rebellion. And it's like, oh, this is not going to be a very fun passage of scripture to read. It's not something we're really looking forward to. But God's words for Isaiah that are then to be passed on to the Israelites take the form as a bit of a back and forth between God and the people. God speaks of them, saying, day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. Right? The people of Israel are thinking that they would love to know what I'm interested in telling them, as if everything was great between us. And the implication is that they're not, right? God says the people are asking this question, why do we fast and yet do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? The Israelites are saying to God, we're doing all of this stuff. How come we're not hearing from you? How come we're not getting a little bit more input from you, right? And so God says this, look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose? A day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? And so God's taking issue with the Israelites' practice of their piety. And he's saying, yeah, you guys are fasting apparently, but you're kind of missing the entire point. Your fast, which is supposed to be an act of worship, is being something that's self-serving, or worse, it oppresses others, or it is violent against someone else. Why? Maybe you're grumpy because you're not eating? The point is, you're missing the point. And so God goes on and says, look, is not this the fast that I choose? Here it is. To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? God is describing this pursuit of justice, this pursuit of good actions towards others, as being the bottom line of what the Israelites are supposed to be about. And he says, if you do this, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, And your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You shall cry for help, and the Lord will say, "Here I am." God takes issue with the Israelites, and in their pious self-centeredness, they're thinking, you know what? We should be seeing more from God. After all, we're doing all this stuff. God's saying, you're missing the point. Reconsider your ways. Hold on a second. Here is the point of doing all of this. And the bottom line is that the people of God are meant to be the hands and feet of God. Ironically, the people of God are saying, how come we're not seeing you do anything for us? And God's saying, the whole point of you worshiping me is to do those acts of righteousness that you are asking for yourself. That we are to be the hands and feet of God. This has happened to me on several occasions, and I often have to remind myself to think differently. But I might see that someone is in need over there somewhere. And so I'll fire up a prayer, oh God, you see that person who is in need, would you please meet their need? And I'm expecting God to reach down and do something for them. But what happens more often than not is when I shoot that prayer up there and say, God, would you do something for that person? He turns around and equips me to be able to be the one through whom the need is met. That the whole point of being the people of God is to be the one bringing about God's action of justice and mercy in the world. If we wanted to say, Lord, have mercy upon me, we need to be people who are merciful to others. If we want to say, God, show me your love, we need to be ones who are showing love to others. And so Israel gets this message a few hundred years before Jesus comes. And evidently, they started to figure that out. They were aware, okay, it's not just about pious acts of worship. We're supposed to be doing stuff. We're supposed to be engaging in almsgiving. We're supposed to be helping others. So this is great. And so they started doing that, apparently. But then in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus comes along with this Sermon on the Mount, and he has to tell everybody, look, don't do your acts of piety to be seen by others. So he says, when you give alms, evidently they were giving alms, but he says, now when you give alms, when you're paying attention to Isaiah, when you're trying to do the right thing, okay? When you give alms, don't announce it with trumpets like the hypocrites do, just so everybody can see what they're doing. If you do that, you're not going to get any reward from the Lord. In fact, you're doing that just to be seen by others, and guess what? You will have your reward. You will have been seen by others. My parents had a couple of interesting comic books that I think were published in the 50s. Maybe the 60s, they were entitled There Ought to Be a Law. And they would just show little episodes in everyday life that just don't make sense. And you think, boy, there's something that should be done to fix that. And one of them, it was two panels. And in the one image, you see this guy who's leaving his hotel, and there's this crowd on the sidewalk, and he's given this big, crisp dollar bill or whatever, you know, maybe it was 10 bucks, whatever it was, to the doorman. And the doorman's giving this big salute, right? And then the next one has him exiting the cab after arriving wherever he was and making a beeline out of the cab, tossing back a coin to the cabbie. And the caption read, the tip is a Lulu with the crowd passing by, but what they give the poor cabbie you could put in your eye. And the whole implication is there ought to be a law against this kind of thing. Ooh, someone's watching. Look, I'm the big tipper here. But then once nobody else is around, the generosity is gone. That's exactly the thing that Jesus is talking about here. When you give, don't give just to be seen by others. This action is reflective of a rather insidious thing called vainglory. And vainglory is insidious because it happens when you are doing a good thing, but doing it for the wrong reasons. And so it is good to be generous to those who are in need, but if you're being generous towards someone in need as part of your Lenten discipline, just so that people can see you being generous to people in need, that there is the vainglory piece. That ends up being the thing that Jesus is talking about. That's not the way it's supposed to be. When you give alms, he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Like that's going to be a pretty deliberate act of being behind the scenes, right? If you actually get that image, right? How can my left hand do anything that my right hand isn't also aware of, you know? But that's what Jesus is saying we're supposed to do. Our actions are not to be for our self-aggrandizement. They are not to be for people to see, wow, look what you're doing. But for simply exhibiting the gracious generosity of God to those around us. Is it sinful to observe Lent? Well, not if we're doing it the right way. Is it sinful not to observe Lent? Well, no one's going to say you must observe Lent, but let us make use of the season to consider our ways, to consider how it is that we are ones who do not just maybe pray and fast as personal actions of penitential piety, but who are actually exhibiting the grace of God to others by our actions towards them. You know, how we do this collectively as a parish is an extension of this, and it's all year round. Our outreach ministries that we have here are ones that we do throughout the year because it is showing the love of God. So whether it is collecting protein items on the first Sunday of the month for the St. Edmund's Food Bank, or whether it's donating sandwich materials for the third Sunday of each month so our kids can make these sandwiches for people in the drop-in center, or whether it's collecting diapers in January or school supplies in August for the Closer to Home ministry for kids that need to go to school or who parents can't afford diapers easily, all of these different things that we do are all ways of continuing Jesus' call for us to give, to do our almsgiving, not to be praised by others, but in order to simply demonstrate the generosity of God. And it's not something that's just for Lent. I guess that's the real point of it all. The season of Lent encourages us perhaps to begin a practice that maybe we have let slide, or perhaps to re-examine what we have been doing and thinking, what might we do that would be better? When it comes to what we do individually or what we do as a parish, the opportunity before us now, on this Ash Wednesday, and in the weeks to come, is to consider, all right, how am I going to observe this Lent? How can I make it a holy Lent? How can I respond to Jesus' call? How can I be mindful of God's criticism of Israel? What is it that I ought to do? And I invite you to consider what almsgiving might look like for you in this season. How might you serve others without worrying about being noticed about it? Maybe it means assisting us in the parish with coordinating our outreach activities. Maybe it means thinking of other needs that need to be met that maybe you can meet on your own, or maybe a couple of people from the church can help you with, or maybe it's something the church should consider. All of these different ideas are there. But I invite you to think that through as we approach Lent this season. Yes, it is a season of penitential prayer. Jesus talks about that when you pray, right? It is a season of fasting, thinking of something you might want to give up. Yeah, Jesus talks about that too. But let's not forget that Lent is also about others. And as God is generous to us, as Christ showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, he died for our sins, let us also be generous to others, that we might certainly follow in the footsteps of our Savior and reflect the grace and the love and the mercy of our God. Amen.